Have you been to the new Hope Breakfast Bar in Egan? It's a brand new restaurant. It's in a strip mall over off of Diffley Road. And Hope Breakfast Bar is one of, the latest, is one of three different Hope Breakfast Bars around the Twin Cities metro area. And all of them are part of a group of restaurants called the Purpose Restaurants, which were started by a man named Brian Ingram. Now, I had the chance to listen to Brian Ingram speak at a community event several months back, and I'd like to share his story with you because I think it's powerful and I think it tells us a little bit or a lot bit, helps shed light on our scripture for today. So Brian is a very accomplished chef. He's been in the business for more than 30 years, very successful in the corporate restaurant business, award-winning. Well, at some point in the last decade or so, he was at the top of his restaurant game, and he found himself doing as he often did, which was on his cell phone, chewing out, reaming out a supplier for failing to do what they said they were going to do. He was very harsh. He was harsh as the restaurant industry can be harsh. Well, in this particular time, his wife happened to be in the car as Brian was on his phone yakking at the supplier. And his wife turned to him when he got off the phone and she looked at him and she said, "What if your daughter was on the other end of that phone call? Would you want your daughter to be treated that way?" Well, this, it was like an epiphany moment for Brian, realizing that that man who chews out the supplier, who's harsh and cruel, with these high demanding expectations, that's not the man he wanted to be. And in that moment, his life pivoted. It changed. He left the corporate restaurant business, the high-powered, high-profile industry, and he started Purpose Restaurants, a group of restaurants with really, really good food, but also an important mission. They give away a significant portion of their profits, but they've also opened up their restaurant during COVID times as a free kitchen and a food pantry. They take community grant requests for families in need, and they have paid for at least a couple different funerals of young men in Minneapolis who were gunned down by violence. At the Hope Breakfast Bars, they have prayer request sheets, forms on each table. And it says something like, "We don't care what you believe in, let us know what you need." And people will write down their prayer requests and they get posted on a wall and they get prayed over by Brian and his wife every single week. Brian went over with the most recent devastating earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Brian went over with his restaurant buddies and his restaurant equipment and fed people over there overseas. So Brian's life has changed dramatically, starting in that one instance where his wife showed him a better way. Now, there was a tax collector named Matthew. We heard about him in last week's scripture. Tax collectors in the time and place of Jesus were outcasts for good reason. They were crooks. They would sit in their toll booths along the trade routes and they would demand taxes. They were a tool of the Roman oppressor, demanding of their fellow Jews that they pay the tax collector money, but then the tax collector also lined his own pockets with extra, with bribes, with charging more than he needed to in his role as tax collector. And so tax collectors were not good people. They were on the wrong path. They were not doing right by their fellow Jew or by humanity in general. And Matthew one day was sitting at his tax booth and Jesus saw him and he said to him, "Follow me." And in that moment, Matthew's whole life changed. He did. He followed Jesus. He went to have dinner with him. He learned more about Jesus. He became a disciple. And now in today's scripture, Matthew shows up again. This time he's called an apostle. Now, an apostle in scripture, it literally means one who is sent. He is a sent one. Matthew is named among the 12 who are sent who are given by Jesus the authority and the ability to do as Jesus did, to go out and defeat evil, to tell others about God's love, to heal the world. And Matthew is one of those who is sent out. His whole life has changed from that moment in the tax booth when Jesus saw him and loved him. And now he's a sent one. He's an apostle. Well, you and I, we are apostles. Apostle, it literally, like I said, it means one who is sent. And the way I've been thinking about it, I think there's two steps to becoming an apostle. Step number one, trusting that you are loved by God. That's what started Matthew on his new journey. Jesus looked at him and declared him worthy to eat dinner with. Jesus loved him. So when you and I, step one of being an apostle is letting ourselves be loved, soaking in the good news that we are enough in God's eyes. Step one. Now, step two of being an apostle is accepting our call as ones who are loved by God to share that love with others. And so we are first loved, and then we share it in our words and our actions and our deeds. And so in a Christian community like All Saints, it kind of has this weekly rhythm. On Sundays, we gather. We are loved. We hear about God's love through scripture, through preaching. We receive God's love in our whole meal of Holy Communion. And then we are sent on Sunday back out, sent out as apostles into the world. Wherever we find ourselves, there is good news to share. Good news to bring. Now, being an apostle, it doesn't mean that we have to be like Brian Ingram. We have to drop everything, switch our career, start a new business, start a new restaurant, travel overseas to Turkey or Syria. That's not what it means. You see, these first apostles, the 12, Jesus sent them with very specific and curious, interesting instructions. Jesus said, "Don't go anywhere but to the people you already know." More specifically, he said, "Don't go to the Gentiles," which were the Romans and the others. "Don't go to the Samaritans," which were the ones who lived in Samaria. "Go to your fellow Israelites," meaning you're a Jew, go visit the other Jews and minister and tell them about God's love and bring healing to them. Kind of wondered, why did Jesus limit the focus so much? You know, it doesn't stay limited. After Jesus was resurrected, he commanded them to go to the ends of the earth, to all nations. But I think right now these initial instructions are about letting them get their feet wet, teaching them to get started as apostles with the people they already know. And so it's for you and for me, each of us live and move and exist in a world where we come into contact with people who need some of God's love in their lives. Whether it's economic needs or social needs or they need a friend, each of us in our daily lives encounter people with need. The other day, you know, it was a pretty small thing. I was driving in Minneapolis and the car in front of me, well, it had a flat tire. A little bit out of my comfort zone, but I saw there was a stoplight coming up, so I pulled up inside and I saw it was a woman, and I decided I could roll down my window, and I motioned to her, "Roll down your window," and I said to her, "Your tire is flat," and boy, she was so thankful to have someone tell her about this, right? It's a small thing, but it's an act of love that sets in motion a ripple effect of love throughout the world. So we start where we are at, in our own neighborhoods, in our own jobs, in our own schools, and we share the love with the people we know. And I know you all in this community here at All Saints, there are ways that you're already sharing God's love. You know, we recently started a new partnership with the Open Door that we, through our little free food pantries at the corner of our parking lot, we are partnering with Open Door to provide even more food to our neighbors in need. And there are people in this community of All Saints who are volunteering to make that happen. There are people who knit prayer shawls. There are people who go chaperone on mission trips. There are people who teach Sunday school. On and on and on it goes. People who serve on council or leadership communities or leadership teams, I mean, or, you know, music, on and on and on. You all are sharing your love where you are, who you are with the gifts and talents that God has given you. And all of this means that we are apostles. We are apostles because of who Jesus is first and foremost. At the beginning of our scripture, it says, Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And this word compassion in Greek, this original word, it has this kind of guttural sound to it. And it means feeling, you know, the original root of the word has to do with your guts or your insides. It means to feel something, so pity so deeply that it churns the pit of your stomach. And when Jesus looked at those crowds and he saw how sick they were, how without health care they were, how impoverished, how without political power they were, how short their lifespans were, how much they were in need, his guts turned and twisted. And as we go about our lives, there are things that hurt us deeply, whether it's on the news or in our personal lives, and we see great need. And that compassion that twists our insides, well, it's there. But it can serve as a tool to empower us, to send us out. You and I, we are apostles. Being an apostle, it means you are loved by God. Never forget that. The God we worship is the God who loves you just as you are. And then it's the same God that says, go, be sent, be an apostle, heal the world. Thanks be to God.